Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Sota daf Mem. We'll have to move a little bit today. We're starting a little late. Apologize for that. Okay, Gemara says, Gemara daf on top of daf Mem. We're going through to trying to, Gemara saying certain psukim that were said by the congregation during Birchas HaKohanim, and now the last one that we're up to is Ne'ilah. So, b'ne'ilah yom at Kippurim, on ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, ma'amar, what did the congregation say? Amar Mazutra, v'amrile b'masnisa. Tanas Mazutra said, some say this was said by a b'risa. The psukim were, hinei kri chen yivorach geve yirei Hashem. That's number one. Yivorach Hashem yitzion arei b'tuv yushalayim koi mechayecha. That's number two. And the third pasuk, yizurei b'anil v'necha shalom al Yisrael. That's the third one that they said on ne'ilah. The Tosos asks, doesn't understand, why does it say only Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur? There are other Ne'ilahs during the year. There's Ne'ilah on Matan and Sibur. We learned in Maritainus that when they had a Tan and Sibur, they would also say Ne'ilah. So Tosos on top, Ne'ilah Yom Kippur, Oyodana lo Amar and Ne'ilah the Tainus, Ki Hechadam and Minchas the Tanisa. We said about Mincha and Tainus. Why don't we talk about Ne'ilah on a Tainus? So the Ron and Tainus on Daf Tes answer is not because the Gemara is also talking about other Tanios also. The only reason why it doesn't say those other Tanios explicitly is because there's no set date for those fast days. Those fast days happen whenever there's a whole process to get to those fast days. So they mention Yom Kippur because that's the only one that's a kavua date. Okay. So now the Gemara says Heichan Omran. So when did the Tzibor say the psukim that we're talking about? We mentioned a whole list of psukim that are said during Birchas Kohanim. When does the Tzibor insert these psukim? So Rav Yosef says Ben Kol Bracha Bracha. You say it between each pasuk. You finished it, and then they said the psukim at the end of each pasuk, the end of each bracha. That's when they said it. Rav Sheshes Amar Haskar Hashem. Rav Sheshes says he said it during when they mentioned Shem Hashem. Okay, that's number one. Pligi bar of Mary, that's one machlokas. Pligi bar of Mari v'Rav Zvid, and there's another machlokas between Rav Mari and Rav Zvid. Chad amar psuka l'chabel psuka, v'chad amar kol psuka amar l'kulo. The first mandarmer says that they lined up. There were three psukim, so each pasuk corresponded to one bracha, depending on where you put it. You said Yivrecha, and so you said the first bracha. You said the Yair, you said the second bracha. But the second mandarmer says, "Akol psuk amar l'kulo." For each pasuk, you said all three psukim, depending on the day, whatever the psukim that the Gemara mentioned. On each pasuk, you say all three. You say all three psukim. So I'm a Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Kol ha'omrim b'gvulin. Here's a big topic. Kol ha'omrim b'gvulin ain't a lotoa. Whoever says any of these psukim outside of the base of Mikdash, going again, same machlokas about gvulin when it comes to Rashi Rambam, go to Rashi outside of the base of Mikdash. Anyone who says any of these psukim outside of the base of Mikdash, ain't a little toa, making a mistake. That's one day, huh? According to Chir Bar Abba, this whole thing about saying the psukim was only in the base of Mikdash. Could be because you're saying the Shema Meforash, so maybe the Meforash, I'm saying maybe the Shema Meforash requires you to elicit a certain response. But outside the base of Mikdash, they're not saying the Shema Meforash, so you wouldn't have to do it. But so three-way machlokas now. Number one is Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, who says that if you say it outside of the base of Mikdash, you're making a mistake. Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa says, Tehid the Mikdash Nami lo bivayil memro. They didn't even say in the base of Mikdash. I guess he's saying all these Gemaras that we just learned, that's not lahalach, that's not what was done. Even the base of Mikdash, he didn't say psukim. Why? Right? Klum yishka evich and mevorchen also the ainu mazin. So what is going to happen? Someone's going to give you a bracha, you're not paying attention, you're worried about saying things, someone's giving you a bracha, you pay attention. So why would an evich get a bracha and all of a sudden start saying other psukim? He's not paying attention. Klum yishka evich and mevorchen also the ainu mazin. So that's day number two. And David number three, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Teda Dvigvul Nami Bar Lamemrenu. Even outside the base of Mikdash, they said these psukim. What's his line of reasoning? Klum Yesh Evet Mavarch also Vein Masbir upon him. Is there such a thing as an Evet who's getting a bracha and he's not going to try to show his gratitude? He's not going to try to say something back to the person giving the bracha to express the Karas Hatov for getting the bracha? So what's the halach? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi says, Mareish Havaminulu. Originally, I used to say these psukim at Birchas Kohanim. But Kevin, the Chazin, the Rabbi, the Menachot, the Lo Amilu, since I saw Rabbi, the Menachot, the Lo Amilu, we wouldn't say them, Ananamilu Aminulu. I also don't say it. So this is brought down. What's the what is the din when it comes to the saying the psukim? If you look a lot of times in the Gemara, there are these psukim on the side of the, in between each of the brachas, each of the words sometimes of each bracha in Birchas Kohanim. So I don't know where those psukim come from, because those don't seem to be the psukim that the Gemara mentions. But the Meiri writes that you should say that the Meiri brings down that you're supposed to say psukim in between each bracha, because you're supposed to show a karas hatov to the, when you're getting a bracha. But Tosos here, Rebbe Maskel Kol, he brings down the name of Rabbi Chananel, that the halacha is like Rechiv Bar Abba, that you're not supposed to say the psukim. And the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, both in Siman Kuf Chav Ches Sif Chav Vav, they say that when the Kohanim are being Mevarach the Am, no one should say any psukim, rather you should be quiet and you should listen to the bracha. But the Ramah says nowadays that the Kohanim are Ma'arich with the Nigunim, so maybe it's okay to say psukim, but his maskan in the end is better not to say any psukim. The Magen Avraham and the Taz, they say that if you say the psukim, you should only say that when the time the chazan is marich, not when the kohen is marich, because when the kohen's marich, that's still part of the bracha, but the chazan is just trying to get the kohanim, telling the kohanim what to say, but that's not part of the actual bracha. But the Mishnah Brura and the Eliyahu Rabbah, the Prima Gadol and the Gra, they all say that you're not supposed to say the psukim at all. So whatever, there are those who had the minhag to say those psukim. So it's brought down. If they're going to say those psukim, they should say them. A, they should just be said quietly, and B, it should be said during the time that the chazan is saying the bracha, not during the time of the kohanim, because during the time of the kohanim, that's the bracha you're supposed to be ma'azin and listen. So if you're not supposed to say psukim, what about we say Ribono Shel Olam? Why? Tosfos asks, why do we say Ribono Shel Olam? We know the Gemara brings down a bracha, that someone had a bad dream, right? He doesn't know what it says. He's supposed to stand before the Kohanim and say Ribono Shel Olam, and Yishlacha, Chalom, Tishlachlach, Shulcha, Ve'en Yidei Mahu, all that. So Tosfos answers, because when you have a bad dream, it's a sakana. There's a sakana that comes in there, and then you have to take care of the sakana. You even allowed to do a tiny shalom on Shabbos if you have a certain dream. So you see that a tiny shalom is a big sakana. So for the big sakana, the time of the Birchas Kohanim is musugal to taking care of that sakana. You're allowed to say that. Right. So the Ramah and the Ramah passes that you can say it also, but you're supposed to say it. Also, you're supposed to say the Ribono Shel Olam when the Kohanim are being ma'arich. Sometimes they're ma'arich the words. So I heard from somebody last night who said, and he didn't tell me where, but nowadays it's not a problem, because when the Kohanim are ma'arich, they're ma'arich not with a word, they're ma'arich with a tune. So that's when you can say the Ribono Shel Olam. You're not doing it during the middle of any bracha. Right. Okay. Go weiter. Now we mentioned Rabbi Abba ben Menachem. Now we're going to bring down a few stories about the anivus of Rabbi Abba ben Menachem. But Amar Rabbi Avo, says, "Meresh havamina in vasanana." Originally, I thought I was an anav. We'll talk. The Gemara at the end of the Masechta will talk about this also. How does somebody say that I'm an anav? Doesn't that smack of not being an anav? Anyway, havamina in vasanana. I thought I was an anav. Came the chazinali the Rabbi ben Menachem. Once I saw the behavior of Rabbi Abba ben Menachem, I realized that I wasn't an anav, that he was really an anav. What's the case that happened? The Amar Ilu Chatama, the Amorei Chatama. He used to give Lashir, and he used to have a Maturgamon who would listen to what the Rav said, and then he would call it out loud. He was like the Rebbe's megaphone, would call it out loud for everyone to hear. So Rabbi Abba would, Menachem would give one reason or one svara, and the Maturgamon would change it, and he would announce his own svara. He would give his own reason. Lo kapid, Rabbi didn't care. He wasn't makpid on that. So Amina lavin v'sanana. I realized that I wasn't a true anav. This guy was a true anav because he wasn't makpid on the fact that someone was changing over his divrei Torah. Umayin v'sanan the Rabbi Avo. Okay, so what was Rabbi Avo's havamina that he thought originally that he wasn't anav? What took place that made you think that he wasn't anav? Right, umayin v'sanan the Rabbi Avo. The amrla di v'siu the amrei the Rabbi Avo, because the wife of the Meturgamon of Rabbi Avo told Rabbi Avo's wife, Hadidan lo tzarech lididach, my husband, the Meturgamon, doesn't even need your husband. He can give shiur by himself. He doesn't need to listen to your husband, Rabbi Avo, and listen to what he says and then give it over to the congregation. He can do it by himself. But the reason why he bends down and listens to your husband, because that's how it used to be, the Meturgamon would be standing and he would bend down, hear what the Rav would say and then announce it. Why does he bend down and listen to him? Right, Yikara ba'amahu the avalei. He's just giving him kavod, but really he doesn't need him. He's smart enough, he can give his own shir. Azla di b'siyu v'amrali l'Rabbi Yavo. So the wife came back to Rabbi Yavo and said, listen to what the wife of Yom Torgerman said. Amrala, Rabbi Yavo says back to her, my not gilu minal. So what's the difference? Who cares? Minyu minay, yikali aloha. Whether from between me and him, still Torah is being given, and Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah is being sent over, so I don't care if he thinks he can do it by himself, so what? Fine. Maybe it was a toelas, I don't know. I don't know. Why had she speak Lashon Hara? Vesu, another case to show the anivus of Rabbi Yavo. Rabbi Yavo, imnu rabbanan leili mani bereisha. Rabbi Yavo was elected to become the Rosh Hashiva. Now, Rosh Hashiva used to get a good salary, they're saying. Kema de chazi, the Rabbi Abi de Menako, the nefishi lei bali chovos. He saw that Rabbi Abi de Menako, he was in debt. He had a lot of creditors. So he said, Amar luhu ikarabba. He said to the people who appointed him, there's a bigger Talmud Chacham than me, there's Rabbi Abi Menako, appoint him to be the Rosh Hashiva, and therefore, in this way, they'd take care of his debts, because he would get I guess back then, Chinuch or Rosh Yeshiva's got a good salary. That's, you know, Shtanu Adoros, you know, everything changed. But they used to get a good salary, and it would take care of all his creditors. Why are you laughing? So the Gemara brings another maaseh for that shows the nivus of Rabbi Yavo. Rabbi Yavo, Rabbi Chia, Bar Abba, Iklo Lahu Asra. Rabbi Yavo and Rabbi Chia came to this certain town, and this is on Yontif, the Parshim say. Rabbi Yavo, Darish Bar Gata. Rabbi Yavo gave his shir in Agata. Rabbi Chia, Bar Abba, Darish Bishmaita. Rabbi Chia, Bar Abba gave his shir in Allah. He gave a lamb shir. So what happened? What typically happened? Shavku Kuliyamal, Rabbi Chia, Bar Abba, Vazal Gabi, Rabbi Yavo. They all left Rabbi Chia. They all left the lamb shir. They didn't chop what was going on. They all went to your God this year. It's a little easier to listen. So and Chalosh Daite, and Sir Bechia got upset. Why did he get upset? The Pharisee got upset because Rabbi Yavo on Shabbos and Yontif, he's supposed to give shiurim on Yom Yoma, Halacha and Yom Yoma. So why is Rabbi Yavo giving a shiur on a God? But he got upset that everyone left him and they went to the other shiur. So Rabbi Yavo wants to comfort him. So Amrale, he says to him, I'll give you a mashal to what this is comparable to. You have two people. One of them is selling diamonds. And one of them is selling pins and needles. Who do people go to? Who gets more of a crowd? Right? The person who's selling pins and needles get more of a crowd. Why? It's not a luxury item. It's a real item that's necessary, more necessary, and it's cheaper. It's easier to come by, so people are going to go to him first. Don't worry that your shear is not bad. The only reason why they came to my shear is because it's easier. Your shear is still better. But and then also, what did he do in order to make Rabbi Chia feel better? Kol yom have a malave Rabbi Chia bar Abba Rabbi Yavo to had ushbuzi. Every day Rabbi Chia used to be malave Rabbi Yavo to his house. Mishum yikarid vakesar. Apparently, Rabbi Abba was close to the government. So Rabbi Chia would show respect, and he would be malave Rabbi Abba back to his house, or back to where he was staying. Hahu Yoma, but on this day that Rabbi Chia was Cholosh Dais, Alvei Rabbi Yavo Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Ad Ushbizei. But in this case, Rabbi Yavo was Malav Rabbi Chia to where he was sleeping. Rafil Hachi, but nevertheless, Lo Yisosev Daite Minei. He still didn't appease Rabbi Chia. He wasn't too happy that he gave the shear and that caused people to leave his shear and go to the other shear. Okay. So now that the Gemara before was talking about the psukim that said during Birchas Kohanim, the Gemara is going to talk about another instance where the congregation is supposed to be saying things during Chazar Shashat. And what's that? What's the one place that the congregation says something? It's Modim the Rabbanan. Modim the Rabbanan. So why, famous Abu Dhrum, Rabbi Razer mentions oftentimes, why in all of Shas there's no, you don't say, you let the Shliach Tzibur be your Shliach for everything, but Modim the Rabbanan, you have to say something. So Abu Dhrum says, because there's no shlichus for hodah. To say thank you to somebody, you can't send a shliach to say thank you. Everything else is bakashos. For bakashos, you can have a shliach ask something for you. But to say thank you, you can't have a shliach to say thank you. And there's a famous, the Pacha Yitzchak and Simon Beis in Chanukah brings down, what's the word hodah? It's a double meaning of hodah. The hodah means to give thanks. Now, hodah also means, like from the word modim b'mitzvahs, to admit. So it says these two words mean really the same thing. That in order to say thank you have to admit that you were lacking. Hodah and Hodah come the same word. So you admit that you're lacking. That's why you needed someone else's help. That's how you can say thank you. So in order to say thank you, the Avudram saying you can't say thank you through a shliach. You have to say it by yourself. And that's why we have the rule of the tefillah of Modim the Rabbanim. So Bisman Shliach Tzibur Omer Modim. At the time the Shliach Tzibur says Modim Ha'am Mahim Omrim. What does the congregation say? It's a double pashas in the Gemara that you say something. The question is, what is it? So Amar Rav says, Modim anachnu lach Hashem Elokeinu al shana modim lach. That's what he says you should say. Ushmul Amar Elokei kol basar al shana modim lach. Rav Simai Amar, you should say, Yotreini yotzei bereishis at shana modim lach. B'nei Hardai Amar Mishmeid, Rav Sima, you should add, Brachos, Maudol, Soshibach Hagdol, al shach yisam, nikim tanu al shana modim lach. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was Messiah in Bahachi, he would say, Kein techayinu, skayinu, sabseinu, v'yatsasov, kulosainu, chasus kochech, shmuch kekech, lasu tzenech, v'yavsholom, al shana modim lach. Rav Papa says, Hilkach Narmino Lechula. We take all of what everyone said, we put it together, and that's our Nusach. So the Beis Yosef says, that's why it's called Modim the Rabbanan. Because all the Rabbanan put together, and it's the Modim of the rabbis that's put together.
Why couldn't they just repeat over the same Modim?
The same?
Same Modim. Why have to make a new one?
Because you want, you're listening to some sort of response. I don't know. When do you say Modim the Rabbanan? When are you supposed to say it? So, pretty much the halacha is pretty clear that the chazan still has to say his modem out loud. Oftentimes you hear the chazan who just stops saying his modem and everyone else says modem and he picks up at the end. I'm not going to pass him, but I don't think that's correct. I think it's still part of Chazar Shashatz and that the modem has to be said out loud. Mishnah Brewer brings down, that even though we're knowing now that the modem, the rabbanon that is said by the congregation is at the same time that the shliach tzibur says modem, nevertheless, since chazar shashatz was there was a kind of say chazar shashatz in order to be motzi the person who's not baki, you have to be careful that the chazan you still say it out loud. You have to say it in a way that at least 10 people hear you. You shouldn't just say it quietly and skip over. Some say Anu, right?
So, you say it in the last phrase, it's from Seaborn, and that's Anu, for individuals.
Okay. Right. So what's the Chasima? What's the Chasima at the end? So Yerushalmi brings down, you're supposed to say Shem Hashem. But we passing, we just say Baruch El Dos. We don't say Shem Hashem at the Chasima more than the Rabbanan. Okay. You should always have the aim of the even if you're Adam Gadol, you should always have the fear of the congregation on you. Because the Kohanim, they turn their backs to the Shechina and face the congregation, showing they're supposed to have the fear of the congregation. They don't not to turn your backs on the congregation. When the Kohanim give the Birchas Kohanim, their back is facing the Aron, and their face is upon him to the congregation, showing that they even turn their backs on Kaviyachol to the Shechina in order to face the congregation to show the kavod that they're supposed to give to the congregation. Yeah, it's a rule of Panim. So Kosev Aruch shows you that the halacha tells you that you're supposed to face the congregation. Let's take it one step back. Rav Nachman Amar Rehacha. Rav Nachman says you learned that fact that you're supposed to have the Amos at Tzibur from here. Vayakom David Hamelech Al Ragla V'Yomer Shmuni Achai V'Ami. He said David got up and he says, "Listen to me, my brothers, my nation. Im Achai Lam Ami. If there is brothers, why does he say brothers means brothers? Ami means his subjects. So it's a contradictory terms. So Im Achai Lam Ami. Im Ami Lam Achai." If you listen to me, Achai, if you listen to me as the king, you're like my brothers. Achai atem, in love, ami atem. If not, you're my subjects. I'll hit you with the stick. So the machlokas is where are you learning out that David, that the Ema. So Rashi says you learn out because he called them my brothers. Even though he's the king, he called them my brothers. Meiri says you learn out because he stood up by Yaakov David. Why did the king get up? The king is the only one who's even allowed to sit in the Azara. We're going to see later. Yet he's getting up here. That's where you see that the Ema should be on you. Third makor is Rabbanan Amri Mehacha. From here, the learning of Brisa, Ain Kohanim Rashayim Alas Besad Leim Aduchan. The Kohanim shouldn't go up to Duchum with their sandals on. Mizel Echa Mitesh the Kanish Hiskin of Yochanan Zakai. It's one of the nine Takanas that Rav Yochanan Zakai was Mesakein from the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah Laman Aleph from the Beis. My time. What's the reason you're not supposed to go? They're not supposed to go up with their sandals. La Mishum Kavodat Tzibur. It's Kavodat Tzibur because Rashi brings down that because their sandals are full of mud, and when you raise your hands, the pants or whatever they're wearing are going to go up a little bit, and you're going to see the mud on their shoes, and that's not respectful for the tzibur to see the mud. Therefore, they're not supposed to go up with their shoes. So Ravashi says, no, that's not the reason why you don't go up with your sandals. Ravashi, that's not the reason. Hasam, what's the reason why they're supposed to take off their shoes, their sandals? Shema nifsikal over tzu basanlu, v'hadar azul miktirei, and amri ben gerusho ben chlutzu. Possibility exists that maybe one of the straps of the shoe of the sandals are going to rip, and he's going to see, oy vey, my sandal rips, he's going to go down from the duchar to fix his sandals, and people say, oh, he's going down, he must be ben gerusho ben chlutzu, you're going to be motzi laz on him. So, what are you supposed to do? So we take off the shoes, but which reason do we paskin like? So it's brought down that what about these certain boots they used to have? They had no straps. They would come up. They would say they'd come up to the knee, and there were no straps. So their second reason, doesn't apply. But the Shulchan Aruch says it doesn't matter. All shoes, especially leather shoes, are supposed to come off. But the Shiari Knesset Gedolah says, even though we're passing like the second line Dhammer, the first reason doesn't go away, meaning that there's still an issue of the covenant tzibur when it comes to the shoes, and therefore he says that it's important not to leave the shoes lying all over the floor when the Kohan and Duchen. Certain shuls is actually like they're like these cubbies where you're supposed to put the shoes in, so the tzibur doesn't see all the shoes, because they can be dirty also. Okay. That's you. Okay, so, and the Mishnah Brura on the Siman also says that even that it's not appropriate to go up with fully barefoot. You're supposed to go up with your garbayim with the socks on. Okay, there's more to talk about there, but we'll continue right there. Okay, so now the Mishnah says Ubamikdash Bracha Achas. We learned that there's a difference between Birchas Kohanim in the Gvulin and Birchas Kohanim in the Mikdash. Birchas Kohanim in the Gvulin there were three brachas, and the Mikdash there was one bracha. Ubamikdash Bracha Achas. So Gemara says, why is there such a difference between what happens in the Mikdash to Amid Beis? Why is it different what happens in the Mikdash and to what happens in the Gvulin? Why is it three and one and one in the, and one brach and the other? Fish ain't only Amid Mikdash because you don't say was proven now. You don't say Amid in the Beis Hamikdash. Since you don't say Amid in the Beis Hamikdash, there's no reason to stop between the Pesukim. Therefore, it's all one long bracha. So Tosos says, Tosos asks the first Tosos, Tame below how you only Baruch Shem Kvamachus Olam Void because you show Hashem Kodesh. We learn in the Beis Hamikdash when he heard the Shema Forish, he would say Baruch Shem. So isn't that that should break up the bracha to make it three separate as well? He says no, because he said Baruch Shem when they heard the Shema Forish, not at the end. So when they heard the Shema Hashem, then they said Baruch Shem, but the bracha still ran one into the other. So Tana Rabbanim in 9 chain ain onin amin by Mikdash. How do you know that you don't say amin in the Beis Hamikdash? So pasuk says Shenemar it is in Nechemya. Kumu Baruchu Hashem Lokeichem in Olam V'Yad Olam. Right, so you hear that every bracha—that's the bracha that you—that was the nusach they would say at the end of each bracha. So, for example, by the bracha of Magen Avram, they would say Baruch Hashem Lokei Yisrael Min Olam V'Yad Olam Magen Avram. The same thing in every bracha. That's the bracha that they would say in the base of the Mikdash. Uminayin Shal Kol Bracha Tchila. How do they know that this is what this al kol bracha bracha? How do you know that you would say this at the end of each bracha? That you would say, sorry, minayin shal kol bracha bracha tehila. How do you know at the end of each bracha you would say the tehila, which is baruch shem, as opposed to amen? How do you know that? Shenemar, the pasuk says at the end, v'yivarchu shem kvodecha umarom al kol bracha tehila. Right, al kol bracha bracha tehila tehila. On each bracha you have to give praise. You say baruch shem kvod mechusay levoed, and you don't say amen. Okay, so since there's no amen in the base of Mikdash, therefore, the Brichas Kohanim, instead of being three separate brachas, is one bracha. That's the chiluk that the Mishnah brings down. Okay, the next mission now is talking about the bracha of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So that's one of the things that the Mishnah had brought down, that the bracha of the Kohanim at the beginning of the parak, that bracha has to be in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh. And this is the bracha that the Kohen Gadol would make the bracha on Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur after he's Messiah of Avos Hayom. He would do it. There would be a Kriyas HaTorah, and these are the brachas that the Kohen Gadol would say. So, what's the say there? What's the order of this bracha? So, Birchas Kohen Gadol Ketzad. How do you say that? What's the order of the Birchas Kohen Gadol? So, Chazan HaKnesses, the Shamus of the Beis HaKnesses, Notal Sefer Torah. He would take the Sefer Torah from its place, Vinos Nein Lala Rosh HaKnesses, and then he would give it to the Gabbai. We give it to the person who's more above him, the more senior person. The Rosh HaKnesses knows the Skan, and the Rosh HaKnesses would pass the Sefer Torah to the Skan Kohen Gadol, the guy who was appointed just in case, God forbid, something happened to the Kohen during the Avodah. He would give the Sefer Torah to the Skan. The Skan and the associate Kohen Gadol knows the Kohen Gadol. Would then give it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol Omeidu Makavel. The Kohen Gadol would stand up from whence he was sitting, and he would be Makavel the Sefer Torah. The Korah, and then he would read the Achrimos. Right, Bekorei Achrimos, that's Vayikra, Perek Tazayin, Sukkim Aleph, through Lamed Aled. And then, Ve'achba Asar, and then he would continue reading from the parish of Achba Asar, which is again in Vayikra, Chav Gimel, from Sukkim Chav Vav to Lamed Beis. That talks about the mitzvah Hayom of Yom Kippurim. Right, and then when he would finish, he would be Golel Satorah, he would then close up the Sefer Torah, Umeinicha Becheiko, and hold it to him, Omer, and he would say to all the people listening to him, there's more in the Sefer Torah that you have to listen to than what I read. You should just know that I just read a small portion of what's obligated, right? And then, but the Psukim of the Esel Lachodesh Shvid, and there's also a parsha of Yom Kippur in Parshas Pinchas. So that parsha of Esel Lachodesh Shvid, Shebachumish Bekudim, it's in Seder Bar Midbar. It's Bar Midbar Perichav Tes Psukim Zayin through Lamed Aleph. Kor al peh, he would read that by heart. Then he would mevarech aleha. Then he would make a bracha. What bracha would he make after reading? Smash the bracha was only after reading. He didn't make a bracha la Torah prior to. He would say these brachas. Mevarech aleha shmona brachas. He would say ala Torah, ala Voda, ala Hodaya, ala Mechilas Avon, ala Mikdash, ala Yisrael, ala Kohanim, ala Yerushalayim, v'shar tefillah. There's nine listed here. The shar tefillah is nine. So he would make all these nine. He would make all these nine brachas. So Mishnah says that Shara Tefillah does the Mefarshim say that Shara Tefillah is not a separate bracha. That's a Shara Tefillah, just the rest of Tefillah. There would be an elongated Tefillah that he would say that's not one of the brachas. So the Gemara says now brings down that there's a machlokas in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Yutes where you're allowed to give kavod to a Talmud in front of that Talmud's Rebbe. So from here it's mashma that you can. Why? Shamas minei cholkin kavod the Talmud makam rav. Why? Because you give the Sefer Torah, there's kavod to hold the Sefer Torah. You give the Sefer Torah first to the Shamish, who gives it to the Skan. So you're giving kavod to the Shamish. You're giving kavod to the Shamish in front of his Rebbe. You're giving kavod to the Chazan in front of his Rebbe, the Shamish, right? So you give it to the Shamish first, and then the Shamish gives it to the Skan. So you're giving kavod to the Skan in front of his Rebbe, the Kohen Gadol. You're giving kavod to a person one down than the next person there. Sorry?
Bring it to the
Kohen Gadol.
The Skan brings it to the Kohen Gadol.
Right, so the Gemara says, so Amar Abaye, Kulam Yishun Kvod to the Kohen Gadol. No, this is not, all this whole thing is to just give kavod to the Kohen Gadol, because like you just said, they're bringing the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol, and they give a lot of steps to show the kavod to the Kohen Gadol. So, right, so then the Gemara says, "V'kohen gadol omeidu mekabel v'korei." The Kohen Gadol would stand up, take it, and read it. So omeid mechlal the yoshivu. Omeid is mashma that he was sitting till now. But v'ha'amamar in yeshiv v'azara. How can the Kohen Gadol be sitting? You're not allowed to have. There's no such thing as yeshiva in the azara. In the azara, the base of it, you have to stand up. Elon the machli beis David bulvad. Except for the kings of machlis beis David are the only ones who are allowed to sit. So how can you give? How can the Mishnah say that Kohen Gadol was sitting and now he's standing up? How do you know that only the Machlus Beis David can sit in the Azara? Shneamar Vayovel Melach David VYoshel Lifnei Hashem VYomer Mi Anochi whatever. So continuation. It says Vayovel Melach David VYoshel Lifnei Hashem. He was sitting Lifnei Hashem, and he says Mi Anochi that he was Lifnei Hashem, which is in the Azara, and yet he was still sitting down. But everybody else, you're not allowed to sit down in the Azara. There's an even bigger question, another question that's brought down. The Sefer Torah is standing. It's being passed from person to person to person. I mean, the Sefer Torah is out of the Aron, it's being passed around. Once the Sefer Torah comes out of the Aron, you're supposed to be standing until it reaches its makom. So the Gemara says that people say that ain't Hakanami, that maybe really he was, maybe... Right, the Dvar Shmuel asked that. The Constitution says that you have to stand before a Sefer Torah. It's a kabachomer from the people who learned. You have to stand up from a covet of a Rav. You have to stand up for the Sefer Torah. So he says that maybe he did. As soon as the Sefer Torah was taken out of the Oran, he did stand up. He was sitting beforehand, but he did stand up. And the Gemara only mentions that he stood up after it discusses, after it mentions all the steps that it got to him. But really, he did stand up. Well, one answer might be that maybe when you're Mosrim in the Yad B'Yad, that's not considered Molichin Oso. The problem is when you're Molich and Sefer Torah from one place to another place, you have to stand up. Maybe the Yad B'Yad, maybe they're all right next to each other. It's not considered Molichin Oso, and he was allowed to stand up. But the Gemara said, the Gemara asked, and he was allowed to sit down. The Gemara asked, but how could he be standing in the sitting in the Azara? Only the kings can sit in the Azara. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Chizah, like Rav Chizah said, be Ezras Nashim. We're talking about the Ezras Nashim. Hachanam be Ezras Nashim. It's not talking about the Azara. This whole thing took place in the Ezras Nashim. And where is that? So the Gemara says, wait, how could that be? Meisvei v'heichan Karimbo. We have a Bryce that says, where does he read the Sefer Torah? But Azara. Reads it in the Gemara assumes that it's in the Azara. So Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer v'harabayis. Shenema vayikra bo lifnei harachov v'shel lifnei sharamayim. No, it's in the harabayis. What does it mean in the and Amar Rav Chisda be'ezras nashim? Rav Chisda says no, it's not in the Azara, it's in the Ezras Nashim. But there's another question that's asked here. So how did the Kohen Gadol sit down? We say he wasn't sitting down; it was in the Azara. But Tosas brings down there's a Sefri that and there's a Medrash Sochar Tov that brings down. If you look at the Pesukim in Shmuel Aleph, Eliyahu Kohen was sitting down. The pasuk says that Eliyahu Kohen Yoshev Akisei Amazuzas Heichal Hashem. Eliyahu Kohen was sitting in the Heichal Hashem. So you see, the Kohen Gadol was sitting down in the Heichal Hashem. So why is the Gemara saying, Kohen Gadol can't sit down in the Azara? You see, from Eliyahu Kohen can sit down in the Azara. So the Or Sameach and Hilchos Malachim Perach Beis Halacha Aleph says, no, there's a difference between the Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz. When you're wearing the tzitz, then you have the shechina. You're part of the shechina. You can sit down. But when you're not wearing the tzitz and you're just dressed in the regular in the malbushim without the tzitz, and when you're talking now on Yom Kippur, when he wasn't wearing the eight begadim, he was only wearing the four begadim. Some say even if now he changed into regular clothing, he wasn't wearing the tzitz. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol can't sit down. Just one question: the Mishnah says, and with this will end. The Mishnah says that he would read. Korah al peh, he would read by heart the words that were in Bamidvar. So the Velt asks, how do you read it by heart? So I have five answers brought down. Okay, Tosfos Yesharim in Yoma, the Tosfos Rosh, they also say that the halacha that you're not allowed to say something al peh, that's only a mitzvah min hamukhar. But really, you can say things by al peh. I don't know how that works in here, mitzvah min hamukhar in the base of Midrash on Yom Kippur. We should probably be doing mitzvah min hamukhar. The Riva and the Ritva they say that the isra of reading things by heart that only applies to things that are chova of kriya. But what for a person just learns like kriya shema or something that you're supposed to be saying, it doesn't apply to that. And here it's not a mitzvah of kriya; it was just a mitzvah of saying what's going on, the avodas hayom, explaining the avodas hayom, and that's not considered a dvarim. That's not part of the iser. A bunch of the rishonim, it's brought down tosos rishonim, tosos harosh, also tosos and tamura and daf yudalid, the ravya, the tashbates, and this is what the grub haskins also lalacha that dvarim shabiksav yitar rosh elam ba peh. That's only if you're being motzi the rabbim al yidei yachova. But if you're reading by yourself. Even a davar dvar chova that you're reading by yourself, that kriya shma and things like that, there's no iser. And therefore, according to these rishonim, the Kohen Gadol is able to read this bal peh because it's not a chova to be motzi anybody. He's not being motzi anybody else with their chov. There are a couple other answers, but we'll stop here. Everyone, have a good day.